Hi, everyone. I'm Lisa. Do you often feel like you never have enough time for everything? My guest, Maura Ahrens-Mealy, has some strategies for that. She's written on the subject for Harvard Business Review, The New York Times, and The Wall Street Journal, among others. She says the secret is forgetting everything you think you know about work-life balance and thinking instead about work-life fit. Here's my conversation with Maura.
You're listening to The Work-Life Equation, the Bright Horizons Family Matters podcast for busy working families. Whether you're a working mom, a dad, or you're busy caring for other family members, we've got tips for how to fit jobs and families together and for how to make your work-life equation add up.
I have three children, which is probably relevant for this podcast
Absolutely.
Audience. The youngest one is three. She's my baby girl. And then I have two boys who are 22 months apart, who are 9 years old and 7 years old. So I have a really interesting dynamic, but I will say that the coolest thing is my kids are getting older and I make the older boys babysit the little one while I'm working at home, which is awesome. I'm loving that. I run a business called Women Online. I'm sort of a hybrid between a digital political consultant, a blogger, and an online community manager with a little bit of digital marketing thrown in. And I've had the company for 6 years. And before that, I worked in Democratic politics. I was the internet marketing director for the Democratic National Committee and worked on the John Kerry for President campaign. I've worked on four presidential campaigns. I always call myself an accidental entrepreneur. I did not certainly set out to create a company. I created a company because I hated showing up in a corporate office every day. I'm just not cut out for it. I was on my way to a pretty big corporate career at a young age, but would come and sit at my desk at 9 a.m. and look up at fluorescent lights and think, I can't be here. I quit. I actually quit a lot of jobs. I quit 9 jobs. Once I quit my final job, I started freelancing to earn money because I was going to grad school. And it was like a light bulb went off in my head. I was like, oh my God, I love this work. I love doing digital marketing. This is so fun. I was also blogging, but I did it from my kitchen table. I did it on my own terms. And that's how I started a company. I thought, I'm not fit, not just for sitting in an office. I'm bad at office politics. I'm an extreme introvert. So being around people all day is really bad. And I'm really anxious, and I'm not good at working in a large organization, so I had to create my own path.
So when did you make these changes? Was it because you had children?
I want to say that I did all this before I had kids. I believe that flexibility and finding your own way to work is really not about being a mom.
Oh, I would love to talk about that because that you talk a lot about this in your work, that the whole idea of flexibility is such a mommy issue.
It's been mommy tracked.
Yes. And shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. And that's why I wrote my book. So my book, Hiding in the Bathroom, A Roadmap to Getting Out There When You'd Rather Stay Home, is a really practical guide for people. And there are lots of us out there who are super ambitious, really love to work, but need to work a little bit more on their own terms. And this doesn't mean going off and becoming like the Silicon Valley myth maker. But I think that there's a real value if you can figure out the economics behind it, in creating and sustaining work that really works for you.
Now, all of this goes back to one concept that you talk about, which is time. And what you were doing when you made that decision and be at your kitchen table was owning your time.
Mm-hmm.
You have three kids, so time management is huge. So talk to us about time and your philosophies on managing it.
So I'm very realistic about both time and money. You need to make sure you're managing it well and you have enough of it. I will say that time is something that I think a lot of us in work and as parents, we let our boundaries around it just get erased. We think of the working mom, she's like always, she's staying up till 1 a.m. to get it done because that's what she does. She's a hero,
mm-hmm.
right? Or we, with our smartphones now, have a lot of boundaries being erased on time because we're always working, we're always reachable. I have interviewed probably 200 people by now. And the number one thing I hear, and actually data backs this up, what makes people happy at work is autonomy over their schedule and their work. And to me, that really, a lot of it comes down to time mm-hmm. and control over what I call your pace, place, and space.
And realistically, can parents really get control of all that?
I don't believe that working parents should lose control over their time. I think that's a myth. There's a little bit of flexibility you have to throw in there, but like, we seem to assume that just because you're a working parent, you have no control. You right. can't be happy if you have no control. We got to take it back.
I totally agree with that. So let's start from the baseline. How do you assess whether or not you've lost control of your time?
Well, you ask yourself that question.
Okay, fair enough.
And you log, right? I mean, I am a big believer, and my sort of work-life guru, Callie Yost, has a baseline theory, which she taught me and which is really important, which is that you have to look at your time holistically. So if you use a family calendar or a Google calendar or whatever, you need to start booking your personal stuff in your workday. Mm-hmm. That feels like anathema for a lot of us because we don't want to admit that like we're going to bar class maybe, you know, or we're going running out for a doctor's appointment or whatever. But again, it's about control.
Right.
So look at your time holistically. Don't look at your time like only halfway by only looking at your work time. So make a schedule, review your time, review how you spend your time, and start putting some boundaries in place. My friend Christine Coe, who I think has been on the podcast,
yes, yes.
has a great exercise, which I love, which is like a very fundamental baseline after you've looked at your time. And she calls it the more or less exercise. But after you have a sense of how you spend your time, write down on a paper, left column, what you want more of. Right column, what you want less of. I want more time to exercise. I want less time in the car. Oh, that's interesting. Do I have a job where I could maybe not commute one morning a week? I might get back 2 hours. That's awesome. Maybe I could exercise and have an extra hour to work. I could tell my boss I'm going to work an extra hour. Right? So start assessing what's important to you. And then start thinking about how you put in place your boundaries, actually the limits. So a boundary is sort of like an emotional feeling. A limit is actually the line that you would put in place. My boundary would be, I am spending so much time in the car, I feel like I've given up all my time to my commute and that makes me feel horrible. Mm-hmm. So the limit could be, I'm gonna stop that, I'm gonna try to work from home one day a week.
What I love about that is what you said earlier, that if you are going to present that to your boss, the case that you make to the boss, you said this a minute ago, it's what the boss is going to get back.
Totally.
And the boss is going to get back a couple of hours of work from you if you work at home.
And again, the data, there's reams of data to back me up here, so don't just take my word for it. Your boss doesn't want you to quit. I'm going to assume that if you're listening to this podcast, you're really good at your job. You get things done. You're a working parent. You can probably get things done twice as fast as people who like surfguilt.com all day. So you're good at your job. Your boss definitely doesn't want to lose you because if you quit, your organization is going to lose about 3 months of your total compensation package if you leave. And so many people, especially professional working parents in a high-earning family or a well-earning family, the mom will leave because she doesn't have control over her time. She doesn't have flexibility. And that's such a shame, isn't it?
Mm, yeah.
And so, again, Callie Yost said to me, she says she talks to a lot of managers who feel like their people just ask for a divorce without even admitting there are problems in the marriage.
That's so interesting.
Right? So imagine if you came to your boss and you said, I'm commuting 2 hours a day. Mm-hmm. I have a job where I'm totally connected. I have a VPN. I need to do this thinking work. And you know what our office is like. What if I took a Friday at home? Do you really think if it fits the job and you could say to your boss, I'm going to get X many hours back just for you, that they would say no? They won't. But because flexibility and the idea of us being selfish with our time is so stigmatized, mm-hmm. people still feel, especially, I hate to say it, working moms, we feel like we can't ask for it.
It is empowering that first time you ask and they say, sure.
Right. Like, what's the big deal?
And the flip side is, if you ask and the reaction is such a dramatic reaction, then you're not working at the company you thought you were working at. And that answers a completely different kind of question.
I did a workshop recently, and this woman came to me in tears. And she said, I need a day to work from home. I get so behind on my work, but my boss likes to see me. I hear this a lot. Mm-hmm. I need to be there because my boss likes to see me. Mm-hmm. Anyone who manages like that is a bad manager. Just because I can see you doesn't mean I'm communicating with you or like managing you well.
Right.
So sometimes when you go through this boundary setting process, like you get a lot of other clues.
Yeah.
You might have like a big moment where you're like, oh, this isn't the right fit, or oh, you know, maybe I do need to shift to a role that is completely different. And that's okay. But it may also be that, like, if you could just work from home a day a week, everything would be better. And that is a really small deal.
I sense that the starting point for all of us as individuals is to be our own advocates. Is that accurate?
Yes. And as we know, it's tough.
That was going to be my next question. So help us be our own advocates.
You know, I had a lot of mom guilt. I mean, I have mom guilt every day. I think a lot of working parents and working moms, we have worker guilt and we have mom guilt. We have friend guilt, we have body guilt, we have everything guilt. And the flip side to that is if you're really guilty, you can't advocate for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, and look, this is like so a work in progress for me, is just being, knowing your boundaries and knowing your worth and what you're good at. So you can say, I'm committed because I was the top performer last quarter. It doesn't matter that I'm not at my desk, or I may not be at the potluck. It's because I'm doing X, Y, and Z that you don't know my life.
All right, let's move out of the office for a minute, because we, as we know, as working parents, there's a billion other things that are going around that are, you know, sapping time and energy from us. So talk to me about the personal side. Do you have strategies for getting back some of that time on the personal front?
I do. And I will say up front that I'm a very weird case, because part of what I have done in my life and why I wrote my book, and I call myself a hermit entrepreneur, I trademarked it, is...
I love that. And that should be a t-shirt, by the way.
I think it should. Is that I'm like really selfish with my time. I put it above earning more money, more professional renown, spending time with my children. Oh my God. I am selfish with my time because I have really bad anxiety and really bad depression. I have really young children and I have breadwinner pressures. I have learned that I cannot perform as a mom, as a breadwinner, as a CEO, if I don't have, I try to have 2 hours a day of unstructured alone time.
But doesn't that fall under the category of taking care of yourself, which we should all be doing?
I have to.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like really entitled, and I feel guilty even saying that. But what I want to say to your listeners is, and again, this comes from mapping your time and being really deliberate, is figuring out your boundaries, figuring out what you can say yes and what you can say no to.
Mm-hmm.
We say yes to so many things as parents that we don't need to. Like, for me, every kid gets one volunteer thing every year. So for one kid, I volunteer in the library. For the other kid, I take him to a class and we go do homework at Starbucks. And then the little one goes to a co-op nursery school. So that's one day a month. That's what they get. Like, that's the boundary.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to advance in your career and you're also a working parent, you may think that you need to go to XYZ networking event. You may think you need to go to XYZ sales conference. Look at that in your calendar. Does any of that actually pay off? If you're volunteering in the kid's school and the kid can't actually see you, is that worth it? Like, ask yourself these questions, because once you know what you can say yes to and once you can say no to, you'll get hours and hours and hours back, and you can start putting those hours back to use. But I think the ultimate punchline is knowing what you need to do to perform. This is what male CEOs, privileged white men, do. They all go to the racket club. They golf. That's their self-care. Hello. They don't think it makes them less successful. We women need to own that. If your like hot yoga class is what is going to make you successful in the long run, or taking a walk alone every day, like, this is a marathon, not a sprint.
I've told this story several times. When my kids were little, really little, I had a babysitter one day a week. And the reason for that, I was only starting my freelance career, but I realized I was a better mom 6 days a week than I was seven.
Yep.
If I had that one day, those other 6 days were going to be so much better. And it sounds like you're sort of embracing the same philosophy.
I have a full-time nanny. I always have. And again, I'm my own boss. Mm-hmm. So I make the decision that a certain amount of my income will go to that nanny. Now, a lot of women I know will say, I can't have as much childcare because then I'm barely breaking even at my job, da 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 da. And a wonderful work-life coach who I used to work with, Lisa Levy, said to me, that's a crazy reductive argument. The math in that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. If you're a better mom, pay for the childcare. if you keep your hand in the game and don't quit your job so that when 10 years later, you can actually still be working and earning a good amount of money, pay for the childcare. Like, don't make this a zero-sum game.
Right.
So many women, and actually so many people who work from home, think, I'm not going to pay for the childcare. But it's really such a short-term expense.
Why be apologetic about that, Tanya? I'm thinking, wow, I wish I thought of that. I think it's great. And I think the fact that you feel like you have to apologize says a lot about where we've come, you know, that you do something that is good for you and you have to say, I'm sorry.
Well, because I think that also I just want to make sure that, like, I'm very lucky and I work really hard and I'm very privileged. And so not everyone can afford a full-time nanny. And I totally just want to acknowledge that. I think, though, that the key is not to feel guilty about having other people watch your children when you work, but also when you take some time for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That is like a very ingrained piece of mom guilt that I think a lot of us can't quite shift. But I think that that's really important too. I mean, I don't always want to be with my children. That's okay. My mother didn't want to always be with me. And so, like, it's not normal to always want to be with your children. They're really stressful. I love them to death, but, like, I don't want to always be with them.
I always used to say, I love my children, but sometimes I need to miss them.
That's right.
Yeah.
So and then if you're a working mom and you're putting in a lot of hours, then it's even harder to say, I need a break, right? Because then you feel like, oh my, and I've been here too. Like, I haven't seen my children. I've been on tour. I've been working away. I need to want to spend time to them. But you might actually need some time to, like, reacclimate. Because when you're away from them and you come back in, it's even harder.
Right. Yeah. No. It is true. I have to tell you, though, I feel like women that are listening to this are going, really? I can feel good about the fact that I don't want to spend every minute with my children? Because I don't know if everybody admits that.
I think most people don't admit it. I think that we have to get to a place where being a working mother does not mean being a martyr.
Mm-hmm. And that's an acceptance piece. That's not only societal. That is a very personal,
it's a self-acceptance.
I am embracing this. You have a strategy for that? Because, boy, that one is hard one.
I got nothing because I'm still working on it. Trust me, I cry all the time because I feel bad that I'm missing things or I'm not a present mom because I'm working too much or, you know, but I think that wiser older women than me have said to me two things, which is that the days are long, but the years are short.
Mm-hmm.
This period when you're in such intensive caregiving is so short.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be working till I'm 85 probably. So if I'm having 5 years of this, I really need to think about the long game and, again, what's going to sustain me. So that's number one. And number two is framing yourself away from the, like, working mom who's upholding everything to the breadwinner who has rights and privileges and needs to manage them. Really thinking of yourself like an executive of your life,
mm-hmm.
you know? Whereas a lot of the working moms, I know, myself included, it's just like, we'll just take it on. We're a never-ending, just like, we can do everything. It's okay. You know, whereas, like, if you're the executive of your life, you're like, no, I need to have my golf game. And then I have an hour of call time. And then I have this, you know, and you order people around. And you have help.
Well, and that's the other thing is I feel like from a strategic standpoint for us, it comes down to, do you think it's about reminding ourselves that the goal here isn't just to do all of this stuff. It's to give the best of ourselves to the people around us and to ourselves.
Yes.
Is that an accurate assessment?
I hope so. What else is there?
That's what I think. But if we can reframe it, do you think that that would be a strategy?
I love that. I may start using that in my head, right? I mean, who wants the worst of ourselves? I think the other thing I just want to touch on just about time, another strategy that people I have seen employ really well is understanding pacing in life. And we talked about it a little bit when we talked about the days are long, years are short, that, like, this time when you're in intense caregiving, your children are little and you're working and you're juggling is a different pace than you might have when your kids are out of the house. But I think that understanding how your ideal quarter is paced, how the summer is paced, even how your workday is paced can be really, really useful. I interviewed an executive who runs a very successful executive recruiting firm. She has three kids. She has made her day very intense in the morning in terms of client work, and her afternoons are for admin work, you know, sort of managing email, checking in. Then it's kid time. And then she gets a burst of energy late at night So she catches up on emails. I do too, but I schedule my emails so that they don't all go out at night. Mm-hmm. They go out at 9 a.m., so it seems like they're sort of sent at normal times. I think when you understand your sort of inherent circadian rhythms of a day, that's also really helpful as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had talked about that earlier because I think your three were pace, place, and space.
Place is actually where you like to work and how you like to work, right? So place could be, I don't work well in an open plan office. I need to work in a quieter place. I need to book the private meeting room. I need to work at home. Mm-hmm. That's like literally. Space is something sort of more fluid, but it's, to me, how much human interaction do I want in a day? And do your kids count in that human interaction? Some people, yes. Some people, no. Some people, for me, like my kids, I'm an introvert, but my kids don't count in that equation. They're like a part of me, so they don't bother me the way that being with grownups would. So I think thinking about the space that you need, and this is really important when you're thinking about the kind of career you want, you know? Do I want a career where I'm like driving around a lot so I have a lot of alone time in between interacting? Do I want a job where I'm constantly with people and managing? Am I a better solo performer because I like that quiet? You know? Like, do I physically want to be with people, and what is the energy that I want to put out every day? And I think that that's important because those kinds of things violate our boundaries, but we don't really think about it.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Do you think people are naturally led to the kinds of careers that,
nope.
I mean, you know, you think that it's a decision you have to, a deliberate decision you have to make?
I think that a lot of us are, but I think that many, especially overachieving people who are very ambitious, end up where we think we should be. Mm-hmm. Because we've always craved external validation, and that's what we perform to. So we go to law school and become lawyers because it's what smart people do and it makes people happy. And then we're like, oh my God.
Well, so if that's the case, we've got these three elements, pace, place, and space. Is this the kind of thing where you have three but pick two? Can you get all three?
I think that at different times in your life you can get all three and sometimes you can't, you know? I mean, we all have to make it work. Mm-hmm. But I think if you can have a baseline and, again, reevaluate every 6 months with a more or a less, you're probably better off than a lot of people.
You talked about that moment you want to quit. You actually realized that this was not for you, the office, the traditional 9-to-5, and you made sweeping changes. Any regrets?
I regret my matching 401k during the bull market. I don't regret anything else. People say autonomy and flexibility is worth more than money.
If you had not quit, forget the 401k for a minute. If you had not quit, where do you think you would be if you had not taken control?
I don't think I would have been in a good place. I think that this is where I needed to be. And, you know, working in my home office, being with my clients who I love, but I'm not with them face to face much, writing, thinking. I have an amazing kitchen cabinet of advisors, but we like text and G-chat all day. I'm not a big one for lunch or networking. I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful. And to my husband who's helped me make it all happen.
So what would make your work life fit? Maura says whatever it is, you'll never know if you can get it unless you ask.
If you like what you heard today, get more of our podcast by subscribing. While you're downloading, let us know what you thought. Or give us a share. Thanks to everyone for being here. We look forward to seeing you next time as we help make the work-life equation add up.